Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Doing well. He is Blank, I am Branham. It's Brian behind the glass. It is a Taco Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You can catch us on YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, and on our new fantastic app that Blankers can now use.
Yes.
Blankers can now use that app.
The droid will be sufficient now.
Yeah. 75 says Branham Green Thumb. I did plant a couple of potato vines today. It's funny that you know that. My power was out all morning.
Really?
I feel like I'm out of rhythm here. I didn't get a chance to meditate. I didn't get a chance to combine green tea, black spice chai tea, ginger turmeric tea together, so I don't have my tea. I'm all out of sync here.
Did you storm out there?
It did eventually, but this morning, no. It was randomly out. I read in the Facebook group that they were doing some, like, they were adding power to, like, the new addition to the neighborhood or whatever. So, yeah, the power was out from the moment I woke up until like 30 minutes after I left.
That sucks.
But I went to the coffee shop. Okay. So like I went somewhere to work. But I'm out of my rhythm. Like I didn't eat my normal lunch. I didn't get my triple dose of teas.
Now when you say meditate, you didn't get a chance to meditate. Is that the meditate we're familiar with?
Well, yeah, it's cuz I don't think my it got really stirring because I was out of rhythm.
Oh, okay. So yeah. It wasn't like the electricity affected the plumbing. It was just that
I meditated a little earlier than I normally do.
All right. Okay. There we go. All right.
I meditated a little earlier. Blankety says, pay my bill. That actually did happen to me once. It wasn't this time where it wasn't like because I was broke, although I've been broke many times in my life. It was we switched credit cards and I forgot to change it.
Uh-huh.
You ever do that with your
oh,
power?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like I called, like, oh, yeah, you have the wrong credit card. And it took like 8 hours to get it restored. That sucked. No, it wasn't that case today. It was just out, which kind of threw me for a loop. So I'm all over the place today. Kind of like the Astros yesterday, huh? Eh?
Yeah.
How about that for a segue, huh? Professional segue. Astros lose a baseball game. Colton Gordon. We start with pitching
because
the Astros start with pitching.
Yes.
What did you think of Colton Gordon?
I didn't think he was bad. I mean, when you look at it, and I went back and watched it again this morning, and you're in the fourth inning, and it's scoreless, and you're like, look, he's battling. He's keeping you in the ball game. He's doing everything to try and keep this team in a game in which, you know, you're starting a majority of your lineup look like Sugar Land Space Cowboys guys. I wasn't overly displeased with him. I will say that. I don't like the fact that he pitched to Ramirez when he did. I had questions about that because Ramirez was attacking him, and he's a hell of a hitter. But I also have some questions on the way the whole thing ended afterwards.
All right, let's hear it.
If he gets hit in the dome, okay, it's one thing that the medical staff is going to allow him to finish the inning. But you're going to send him back out there? And then you hear that there were rumors that he had a concussion and he was being tested for a concussion.
Okay.
What?
I think this is the wussification of sports. No offense, respectfully. He got touched by a baseball and was perfectly fine. Like, why wouldn't he keep pitching?
Because, one, I think that he looked like he had had about enough after that. He got out of it. They let him go back out there. But I wouldn't have sent him back out there to start the next inning. I think that this was the combination of the fact that he got hit with the fact that he was getting hit that I would not have sent him out there, especially when they came all the way back to tie the baseball game. I would have lived with the results of my bullpen from that point forward.
Okay. Bullpen did let him down.
Okert
didn't get out of a situation because, I mean, when they pulled Gordon in the sixth inning, there was a runner at second, two outs. Like, he got two more outs in that spot, and then Okert walked Naylor. Brian Rocchio was able to double, scored a couple of runs there. I've heard and read this opinion that, can you believe that the Houston Astros left Colton Gordon in the game after he got hit in the dome with a line drive, he was immediately doing push-ups. He was fine. This is the wussification of sports where anybody, if any player gets touched in the head, if you flick his ear, oh, it's a concussion. It's a concussion. Get him off the field. It's. Do you think football players have their bell rung from time to time? Like, there's, in my opinion, he was perfectly fine. Yes, he got hit by the ball that ricocheted off his glove. Yes, it looked scary. But do I think that he had anything wrong with him? Absolutely not.
That's
absolutely
fine. But once you get through that inning, I think he's done.
It's fair to pull a hook there.
My biggest concern was that he went back out there for another inning. The fact that if you're going to leave him out there, but he somehow found a way to scrap his way through it, he got through it, okay, fine. But now your medical team, whoever, is evaluating and looking at him. Do we need to, whether it's just a precautionary, let's look at him for a concussion or not. The end result to me was the fact that the total picture was you got hit in the dome and it looked like you were starting to lose it. I would have been, at that point, I don't send him out there for another inning.
I think it's fair to pull the hook after the fifth. Like, I don't have too much of a pushback over that. And most of my, like, angst in my voice has to do with a lot of the reaction that I saw. Like, we blame the Astros training staff for a lot of things, rightfully so. They deserve it. But I saw some posts today. Can you believe the Astros training staff left a pitcher that got hit by a line drive in the head in the game? There was nothing wrong with him. He was fine. I hit my head on the wall 18 times a day. Am I fine? Probably not. But Colton Gordon was fine. It's the wussification. And then, like, the tweet afterwards where, like, he's in the concussion. That wasn't even the phrasing. The phrasing for McTaggart, which he took from Espada, was that he's being evaluated for a concussion. Which being evaluated for a concussion isn't the same as having a concussion. Maybe it comes out today he has a concussion and what I'm saying right now is ignorant. Maybe that's the case. I think it's more likely they just didn't want him to talk to the media, and a way for him to not talk to the media was to say he's being diagnosed for a concussion. I mean, was there any moment last night after Colton Gordon got hit in the head where you're like, man, he's not right. He needs to get off the field. He needs to get off the mound. He was doing push-ups by the time that he hit the ground. His velo was there. His movement was there. He got out of the inning. He struck out a dude in the sixth inning. He was an out away from escaping the sixth unscathed and got put. He got pulled, I mean, and then Okert came into the game and gave up his runs. Look, we can say that Gordon wasn't good, which is fine. I'm with you. I tweeted out yesterday I was not displeased by his outing. I thought he was okay. Not great, okay. The two-out homer by Ramirez certainly swung things. It's just the wussification. Oh, my goodness, he got hit in the head with a baseball. He needs to never pitch again. It's ridiculous, and I know that it sounds like I'm coming at you. I'm not. It's more what I saw on the internet.
Yeah, and for me, it was just the matter of, look, and I saw people on the internet prior to the start saying if he doesn't have a good start that they need to DFA him or take him out of the rotation, send him back to Sugar Land. It's like
who'd you see that from?
I saved it because I want to put it up.
Yeah, pull it up because I think that guy's been doing that with every pitcher, like as a reverse jinx.
Okay, I'll pull it up. But in the meantime, the point I'm making is I just, you know, when he gave up the home run, I thought the game was over. Yeah. I thought with the lineup that they have and the fact that he, you know, again, he was pitching out of trouble, but he was battling. He kept you scoreless through four. The fifth inning was not pretty. He got through it. He's done. In my mind, he's done. That's it. Even if you want to use the concussion protocol as an excuse, hey, we're not going to put him back out there for another inning. Regardless, I thought that he was near the end of the rope anyway. I wouldn't have put him back out there for an extra inning when you came all the way back and climbed the ladder. And that's what really kind of got me. I'm sitting there on the couch going, why is he going back out there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, There was also some questioning if they should have given Gordon the rest of the inning because he was an out away from getting out of the inning. I'm sure their advanced analytics said this is the time to go to Okert. I'm okay with the hook. I'm just not okay with the excuses after the game. We're like, oh my goodness, can you believe that the Astros left him in the game? Like, come on, man. He's perfectly fine. Like, give me any example, any hint whatsoever that he is not okay to continue pitching. Immediately doing push-ups. He's laughing with Jeremiah Randall. He's laughing with Espada. The umpire was giving him more time. He was. I read his lips. He goes, I appreciate you, Blue. Like, there was nothing wrong with Colton Gordon other than, like, his stuff and his ability. But there was nothing wrong upstairs. Like, it's the wussification. Like, oh, my goodness, somebody got hit in the head. They need to sit out for a week. No, that's not always the case. And I'm good. Like, I'm four, like, you know, head safety or whatever we want to call it. Like, I think that they should be overly cautious and should be looking at the player and, you know, put them in the, like, diagnose them for concussions. Like, all of that stuff is necessary and warranted and should happen. But there was nothing wrong with Corton Gordon yesterday after that. It was scary, no doubt about that. Now, they do have a rule in college baseball where you can come out of the game to go under, like, a concussion diagnosis or whatever and then actually come back in the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I rewound it before they even were going to show the replay. I think that I thought that they were in the truck debating whether they should show the replay or not. But the fact is that thankfully it wasn't 100-plus off the bat barreled up that hit him in the dome.
Should have caught it.
But at the same time, when you get hit in the dome, and I think, like you said, you look at him, it looked like he was getting near the end of his rope. But to me, the big surprise to me was he was out there again on the sixth, to start the sixth inning.
I thought it was – I mean, those are very difficult to catch because you think they're coming back at you 800 miles per hour. Like, he got a changeup and thought he got a fastball and just whiffed on it.
Yep.
It would have been nice if he would have caught that ball. Would have been nice if Isak Paredes would have caught that line drive that just barely got over his glove at third. But, yeah, Colton Gordon was kind of meh. In terms of his line score, not awful. Like, obviously, what changed the course of his line score was the Jose Ramirez home run, the two-out, three-run homer. A lot of people were saying that the earlier in the at-bat, you know, should have got a strike, changed the course of the AB. I do believe that. Like, I believe, like, it sounds like I'm excuse-making now. I do believe that take. Now, I know that you didn't have first base open. I know it's first and second. I know you don't want to, like, work around Jose Ramirez because now you load the bases with two outs. It's not wonderful. I would rather face Carlos Santana with the bases loaded, two outs, than Jose Ramirez first and second, two outs. So I don't love that you were pitching to Ramirez.
Yeah, I was wondering if this was going to come up and where you were going to be on this. Because for me, I know from a baseball purist standpoint, you just don't put the winning run, the go-ahead run on third base with two outs. It's Jose Ramirez. And the fact is that you don't have your regular lineup offensively to expect that, as much as, like, I was surprised, and I think everybody should be surprised and appreciate the fact that they got all the way back at the ball game. Like, I need to keep this a one-run game or a tie game for as long as I can until I find a way to scratch a run across the plate. And I'll take my chances facing anybody other in that lineup other than Jose Ramirez. And so, to me, I know it's unorthodox to say this, but I would have pitched around and found a place for Jose Ramirez anywhere but being able to swing at a strike to take my chances with just someone else in that lineup.
Yeah, I don't believe in the intentional walk in that spot, but I believe in not giving him a pitch to hit. Like, if he wants to get himself out by swinging at a pitch a foot off the outside corner, if he wants to chase one down low below the zone, if he wants to elevate and chase one out of the zone, okay, whatever. But I don't believe in the intentional walk in that spot, but I also am not going to let him beat me in that spot. If he beats me out of the zone, he beats me out of the zone, but I'm not pitching to
him. No, that's what I'm saying. I would pitch around him. I would throw. I would nibble, but not even too close. Like you said, I would elevate the strike zone a little bit, see if a guy that normally is a pretty damn good disciplined hitter at the plate, but if he decides to, like, get over anxious or do you a favor in a solid, that's great. But I'll take the loss battling anybody else in that lineup with as bad as they've been playing as well.
Yeah, I do too. 713-780 ESPN. More to get to from yesterday's game. We'll take your complaints about it too. It feels weird for the Astros to lose a game. It's been a little while that they've lost. It's been a little while for Cleveland to win a game too. Snapped a long losing streak last night as well. 713-780 ESPN. You can catch us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can catch us on the new ESPN app. Just search for it. It's fantastic. It is the best. You can also listen to us on TikTok, ESPN975. I'm at Jeremy J. Brown. I'm on TikTok. We're also on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man. Joel Bryan at Sagby BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. 713-780-3776. Lots to get to today. Cash them or trash them with the Bs. Rafael Stone doubling down on some player. Texans, too. Thank you, Joe. Plenty to get to. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN975, ESPN925.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Ocho, bless his heart, Colton Gordon does his best and does throw strikes, but dude just doesn't have major league stuff. Todd, they win games when he pitches. But no, I mean, his stuff is kind of mid. I mean, let's be realistic with Colton Gordon. His stuff isn't the best. Now, he's got good command, keeps hitters off balance, good sequencing. Like, he's not a guy who gets barreled up a ton, but his stuff would grade out as below average. There's no arguing that. That you can look that up.
Yeah, I don't mind a guy that knows how to pitch because his fastball is less than. I don't think his fastball is major league level. I think that if you could kind of refine the command a little bit, I think he knows how to pitch. I think that his spin stuff can work, and we've seen that. I just don't know how many times he can get through a lineup. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, for the time being, I think he's exceeded expectations. But I do think that in spots, because he's, you know, because he could be a guy that you could put in. Maybe he's better suited eventually for his career in the bullpen. But I think right now his stuff can compete. I just don't know for how many times through a lineup.
I mean, usually the guys in the bullpen are the guys that have unbelievable stuff. They just don't have like the long conditioning built up to be a starter. They're kind of a two-pitch guy. You don't really see a whole lot of junk ballers in the bullpen unless they're like a long guy.
It could be, well, maybe he is a long guy. But I just think that if he could refine the spin stuff and maybe tighten it up a little bit, maybe there's a, you know, there's pockets where he could get guys out too. But I mean, I don't think that this team is banking on him to be a long-term starter in the rotation.
I think he's an organizational depth starter. Like, he's a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh starter for a big league organization. And that's fine. Like, you've got to have guys like that. You just don't pay guys like that. Like, here's your 6 years of service, and then when they're up, hopefully we find somebody else. Like, it does bring up an interesting thing, though, with these starters. Because, I mean, the Astros right now have two great starters. Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, two great starters. And then after that, they have a bunch of starters. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Walter, who's been a career, like, you know, kind of minor leaguer. Gordon, Gusto. Then you have, like, Lance McCullers, who's been injured, has shown flashes, doesn't have the velo, although his velo was the highest in L.A., but how much do you trust him? Then you have the injured guys, like Javier, Garcia, Arrighetti. If you want to throw J.P. France into the mix, I wouldn't. I think he's more of a Gordon, Gusto type. But it does bring in, like, you do wonder if you, like, start to think out in 2 months. Now, these things always have a way of kind of balancing themselves out. But you wonder if all of these guys are healthy, what the Astros would do.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you think about because you have to contemplate, like, who, not, you know, who's coming back. Because you can't just expect that all four of those starters are going to be back this year, because we just know that we can't trust whatever they're telling us, and the fact that most of these rehab stints and these guys coming back have not been coming back on time. But if they do come back, you start wondering, well, I mean, when we start kicking around the trade deadline, when we start kicking around what teams are looking at and what the Astros can afford to give up, and if they're looking for guys off their major league roster, are one or more of these guys going to be enticing to another team that's probably a less than team looking for a guy that can just bridge a gap, fill in as a starter, be a guy that can eat up some innings for a team that's not worried so much about, you know, wins and losses? And
why would they trade anybody for that guy, though?
Because they're probably trying to get a contract off their books, or they're trying to get rid of a veteran that to give a younger guy in their system a start as well. I mean, a chance as well. So maybe they're trying to clear a veteran off, and they could do the Astros a favor. Doesn't necessarily have to be another pitcher. It could be, you know, a bat if they're looking for a bat, and then get a guy that's very cheap that can come in and be a guy that fits into your rotation on the back half and eats up innings.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't view like Gordon or Gusto as guys who have any trade value. Their stuff's just not good enough. And they're older. Like, I think Gusto's like 27. Gordon's like 26. So, like, they're not guys that I think that those teams would be trading pieces for. Now, maybe in your case, like, dumping a salary, yeah, just getting something back. That's the most possible scenario. Like, if we just entertain the thought, all these guys are healthy, which they're probably not going to be. I mean, reality tells us they're not going to be.
Right.
They hope that they are, but reality tells us they're not going to. Obviously, Framber and Hunter are your 1-2. After that, what is your best possible outcome? Probably Arrighetti, Javier, 3-4 in whatever order. And then would your 5 be Luis Garcia, or would it be like Brandon Walter?
See, the question, there's so many questions about that. Because
or McCullers.
If it's Javier prior to surgery, mm-hmm, then Javier is your slam dunk 3. But you just don't know what you don't know about. Not only is he going to be back medically, but then when he comes back medically, how effective is he going to be physically from where we've seen him and what we've got accustomed to know of him to what we are now to expect coming right off the surgery and the elongated time it took to get him back. Same thing with Garcia. Garcia prior would probably be your 4. But Garcia now, and because he was shut down, well, you just don't know physically what he's going to be able to do and how his stuff's going to look and the confidence he's going to have in his spin. So I would say Eric Geddy's probably my three.
I would say best case scenario, like just playing the completely optimistic, oh my goodness, like the perfect scenario happens, which you're right, all those are variables and factors and probably like reality. But if you get those guys back, and again, not probably going to happen, but if you do, I mean, I think Javier's your third best starter that you yes. have of those guys if he's pitching at his best. I'm sad about Blanco because Blanco's been so stinking good last year and even the start of this year was pretty solid. But Javier, probably Eric Geddy. Then probably Luis, and then I guess Lance.
It's hard to say from my standpoint, the fifth starter until I see what they've got, that Lance would not be the fifth starter.
No, I like from a reality standpoint of like what they would do with the rotation, there's no way they move Lance to the bullpen. I'm with you on that. But I'm just talking about like what would if you could play some 1 through 5. I don't think that Lance would be better than Luis Garcia if you're getting the Luis Garcia that got hurt back.
I completely agree with you because I would almost say that if those guys are coming back and we are to expect that they are going to be where they were prior to injury, then Javier's your three. I think Garcia's your four. And then from a five perspective, it's more between Lance and Eric Geddy because they've been so hot and cold.
I think the guy we could be sleeping on here too, Brandon Walter's been a lot better than I thought. He's been a lot better than I thought. And small sample, maybe it's the sample that's speaking here. But I'm curious what Brandon Walter looks like over his next five starts. And if what we've seen so far with Brandon Walter is, like, legit. Because if it is, we're sleeping on Brandon Walter.
Okay. And I would hope that that might be the case. And there would be another guy that could factor in. Because I think, to the point you were making earlier, the one thing that I would push back is, I think Gusto, because he at least, if you could, you know, kind of piggyback off of what he does against the Dodgers, if he has another opportunity to start and throw like he did, that you could have some teams that were looking at him because his fastball can compete. Because I think that he has a fastball and he has major league stuff to where that might be some more value. Because you bring up a name that's not factoring in for this year, but for the long-term big picture of it all, it's harder to see guys like Gusto being a part of this as a starter, if that's what he wants to be, because you're going to get Blanco back next year.
See, I think, maybe.
That's a good point.
It would be like the Javier timeline, because Javier got hurt kind of early in the year last year. They're hoping he's back by summer. That's kind of what they're expecting with Blanco, too, or hoping with Blanco. See, Gusto, unlike Gordon, to me, is a guy who could play in the pen, because he's got a fastball that he can get the velo up to, like, upper 90s-ish, and then it can play top of the zone, too. I think he's more of a bullpen arm than, like, Gordon would be.
To your point, too, he has a chance to be more of a leverage guy because of the fact that if he's empty in the tank, I'm not saying eighth and ninth, but I'm saying, like, he could be your seventh inning guy, like an Ort, because his other stuff competes, and his fastball, if he's emptying the tank for three batters or trying to get three outs, he can pump it up there.
I mean, if you put him in the bullpen today, he's probably my second lowest leverage reliever, maybe third, because I would have him ahead of Neris. I'd probably have him ahead of Ort, but that's it. Like, I'd have Okert ahead of him. I'd have King ahead of him. I'd have Souza ahead of him. I obviously have Abreu and Hader above him. But that maybe that speaks to the state of the Astros bullpen. Uh-huh. Your life is on the line. Everything else is the same. You have to pick between one of three starters.
Okay.
Colton Gordon, Ryan Gusto, Brandon Walter, Jamie Moyer. Who you taking? You have to win the game or you're dead.
Colton Gordon, Jamie Moyer.
Or Gusto. You have first pick, I'll have second pick, and then Brian will be left with the leftovers.
Brian gets Colton Gordon. I'm gonna go with Walter.
Oh, you stole my pick. There's no way I thought you were taking Walter there.
Well, the only problem is I would have said Gusto, except for the fact that Gusto's so hot and cold. Like, he's either really good or he can be really bad. And again, I don't like the fact that I don't even know if this is the true Ryan Gusto, just based on stretched out and then throw to the they screw around with him so much. But Walter so far seems like he understands how to pitch, and his stuff at least translates to getting major league hitters out to the point where I think he kind of between the ears too is as mature of the three.
Yeah, you stole my pick. So I'm going to go with Gusto, I guess, because I think he can give you a few innings. Like, this texture says, how many innings are they going to have to pitch? Like, not many. You have a good bullpen. Yeah. Like, if this game is do or die, game seven of the World Series, and, like, what, you know, the other starters are used up, then you really only need one of these guys for, like, three innings, because you're going to turn it over to the bullpen, reverse engineer it. Abreu and Hader are two guys that are going to give you three. King's going to give you one. That's four innings. Souza's going to give you another inning. That's five innings. And then you even can throw an Okert in there to give you another. That's mm-hmm. six innings. So you don't need a whole lot of coverage if this is a do or die game. That's why I would go Gusto, because the outing doesn't need to be long. Like, I believe Gusto for three innings more than I believe Gordon for three innings. If you said which one can give you six innings and a best start, I might go Gordon. But three innings, I would go Gusto.
And I think that that's the key, too, bringing up what we were talking about earlier when I said, look, if you only got to get through the lineup one time because of the fact that you have so many arms and options in the bullpen, I think even Colton Gordon can compete for nine hitters for one trip through the lineup. But I think that because of the fact that he doesn't have a fastball that competes and his secondary stuff ain't great, I would be leery of him.
Yeah. There's the possibility for there to be some interesting questions when the starters come back, if they come back. 713-780-ESPN, they made a good comeback and was in a good game. Good game, Stros. That was Israel. Clap emoji, clap emoji, clap emoji. Yeah. All right. So Victor Caratini homered again yesterday. There were some interesting things from Brian McTaggart about the future of the Astros catcher position. I'm curious what the future of the Astros catcher position is. Also, a couple of guys hitting homers yesterday. One that maybe Blanker's got going. One that gave us some free chicken. And how about the debut? Good on you, Astro fans. 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. Who are you going to talk bad about today? That way they can hit a three-run homer.
I mean, who do you want me to? I think you're trying to kickstart your guy, Israel's guy. So
yeah, Cam's been in a little bit of a two-and-a-half games. He hadn't got a hit.
Yeah, bum.
0 for 11, I think. 5Ks, 4Ks.
Niner hasn't been awful. Who do I need to kickstart?
Astros lineup today.
Okay.
Paredes, Cam, Altuve. Okay. Niner, Caratini, Hummel. Dubon, Short, and Trammell.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Which one? Short, Trammell,
several
Hummel.
Guys.
who are you referring to?
It was four short.
Could have hit it three times. Uh-huh. Zach Short, who looks like my friend Screed. It's Zach Short season, baby.
That guy?
It's Zach Short season. Looks
Short
like Dustin
season.
Diamond.
R.I.P.
He is Dustin no longer with us, unfortunately.
Not exactly a legendary Wisconsinite.
He never... he's from Wisconsin?
Indeed.
I don't think he ever got with Lisa Turtle either.
Poor Shame. Guy. I was rooting for him.
We all were.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to go Cooper Hummel.
Because you said that Trammell should not be on the Major League Baseball team.
I was waiting to hear it from people. But look, if it works, great. I heard somebody somewhere today talking about an ex-player talking about the fact that he's a boom or bust guy. I haven't seen the boom enough to see he's a boom or bust guy. He finally got a hit.
It was his first Astro hit. Now, I did go back and look at some of the numbers for Taylor Trammell. The guy does have some power. Like he has 16 career homers in 377 plate appearances. Like, you get a top half of the order guy that usually gets 600, 650 plate appearances a year. Like, that kind of plays out to close to 30 homers a season. Now, everything else stinks. We're looking at like a 163 average, 267 on base. But he does have power.
Yeah, I think in order to have power, you got to put the bat to the baseball.
And I mean, 16 homers and 377 plate appearances shows power.
Right, but since he's been with the Astros, he hasn't put the bat to the baseball.
He's got one homer and 18 plate appearances.
But
that's
he's been
pretty
striking
good ratio.
Out a lot, and he hasn't been putting the ball in. I mean, occasionally he'll put the ball in play and ground out.
But that doesn't mean power.
No, he just looks overmatched as a major league hitter.
I agree with that. But he has pop.
Okay.
He has pop.
Well, I need to see more of it.
Well, you're probably not going to because he can't touch the baseball.
That's what I'm saying.
He can't touch the baseball. I am kind of curious. I would like him to have a little bit of a runway just to see what you have, though. Like, if Myers isn't going to play, which he's not in the lineup today, that's not great. A second straight game he's missed with a calf injury after being pulled from a game because of the calf injury. Like, I'm just to the point now where just IL him. Like, just hit the reset. Don't even think about playing him until after the All-Star break. Make sure that he's 100% right. Like, you know how I feel about that, especially whenever you have a lead in the division and things are going well. There's no reason for him to come back even at 95%, pull that bad boy again, and now he's out a month. Like, if you could just, hey, let's give you a week and a half off, come back after the All-Star break, good to go. Like, I'd rather see Tremel have some ABs than Hummel have some ABs. Not to say that Tremel's better than Hummel, but I do think that Tremel has a higher upside. Hummel hasn't been good against righties either. Now, they are facing a lefty today. But, no, I'm kind of curious about Tremel a little bit.
Yeah, I look at it, and it's just, it's just the situation that they're in right now because of all the injuries. But to see this lineup, it's like, yeah, I'm glad we have Hunter Brown on the mound tonight. But Hunter Brown is going to have to be top-level Hunter Brown because I just don't know where the runs are coming from other than the top five, yeah, okay, I'll live with it. The bottom four are – and Dubon is just hit or miss. But I'm looking at it going, man, it is tough if you're the Astros right now looking at trying to get production out of the bottom half of that lineup. Either one of those guys, I'll take. I don't care which one. Just have one of them have like an outburst like Short did in L.A.
Yeah. Short's going to homer today. Zach Short looks like my buddy Screech. All that, and Cam still batting .282. We're not knocking Cam. Cam's great. He's just, you know, he's been feeling it a little bit lately. That happens in baseball. So Caratini hit a home run yesterday. I was reading the Brian McTaggart newsletter like 2 weeks ago maybe, and he kind of alluded to the fact that the Astros might not love Yiner because of his plate discipline and probably his defense a little bit. Caratini's a free agent after the end of the year. Mm-hmm. He also mentioned McTaggart in his newsletter that like they really like Walker Yannick, who was a first round pick last year. He's still an A ball though. Like his bat, I think, is a ways away. Now he can pick it. He can defend. I wonder what the state of the Astros catcher position is going forward. Because if they make a commitment to Caratini to keep him around, Yannick, you think you hope he's a big leaguer at some point. Yiner would have some trade value. Now he's cheap because he's still under service time, but maybe you just don't think he's capable of playing the catcher position another season. I wonder if it is possible that they could move Yiner at the end of the year.
Boy, I never would have thought so. With as much as this team likes young talent under team control and with what we saw early on from him to think that, you know, he's going to be a long-term Astro. But I can't argue with the fact that he's still making, like, dumb mistakes, both chasing, you know, breaking pitches, no matter what breaking pitches they are. Middle out, he just flails. His plate discipline is one thing. We talked about it last week. The way he's catching games is another thing. Like, the backhanded catches, again, he got away with one last night. He was doing it when guys weren't on base too. But it's like, as a catcher, you just cannot catch the bait or attempt to catch the baseball like that. And even throwing, like, I think sometimes he falls asleep and realizes, oh God, there's a runner running, and he double pumps and then he throws and he still has a chance to get him. But Altuve's diving in front of the ball or Short's trying to knock it down because he double pumped because he didn't even look at the fact that the runner was going. To where I could understand it. If the Astros are looking or at least entertaining offers on him, I would understand it because it's twofold. Because the other thing is Caratini's been so damn good.
Yeah, and I don't think it would happen at the deadline. I think this would be an offseason decision, which is just, I had never really thought of that. And then when McTaggart's like, yeah, the Astros don't love his plate, his approach at the plate. Caratini's a free agent who they would like to have back, and they think highly of Walker Yannick. So it's kind of like, ooh. Okay, like I wonder if that's something that they would entertain. Look, if anybody has the cojones to do it, Dana Brown traded Kyle Tucker in the offseason. Like, he has the bravado to do it, so it would be interesting.
But the other thing that would be interesting in it is how much would they be willing to pay Caratini? Because to me, it would seem like that it would have to be a mutual agreement where Caratini would take a little less than his open market value to come back to a team that he really likes playing for and around.
Yeah.
And then them willing to, you know, give him a couple of years so that he can find the security, even if it isn't at the top dollar another team was willing to make him their starter for.
Yeah, it is fascinating. Like, I would just play it out with Yiner and probably just let him play the years of club control, see what you get with him, and then just let him leave in free agency when his time is up. But, you know, maybe Dana's looking at it kind of like a Tucker. Like, if his value's up here, we don't really love him long term. Let's flip him for something now and get, you know, 15 years of club control in a package, several players, not just one, for a guy who has 3 years of club control. Chris from Sam Houston, Jordan's the DH, move Yiner. Yiner's a DH waiting to happen. He's not great behind the dish. He's not great. No. I had visions of moving him to first. I don't think he'd be great at first either, but it's better to have poor defense at first than it is behind the dish. And they signed Walker to a $60 million three-year deal.
You're not doing
so they're
that
committed.
Now.
No, you're not doing that now. That's something that would have been done in the offseason.
Right.
You're not doing it now. I concede that.
But we talked about it a year ago when we said, hey, the offseason they should be working with him behind the dish, that he has to clean it up.
I mean, they have
to
be
get better. But no, because some of the things that you hear are maybe he didn't want to. He didn't want to put in extra work in the offseason, or he didn't want to do that much stuff. So you just don't know. But from a Yannick perspective, look, I think he can throw runners out. He's really good defensively. I would rely on you for this more. Having seen him, I just wonder offensively if he's a major league hitter, catcher. No. Yannick.
I don't know how you could possibly say that right now. He's in single A.
Yeah.
Like I would like to see what he looks like in at least double A before I'm ready to commit to him as a, like, in my future plans. Now, defensively, he can go.
Yeah.
Defensively, he can go. So, like, do I think he can at minimum be a backup catcher by the summer of next year? Yeah, he could potentially be a backup catcher by the summer of next season. I guess even opening day, if you really rush it, and he's just a backup, defensive-minded. But still, like, you would like to see him more than high A-ball on July 8th if you have any idea and any visions that he's on your opening day roster next season.
I know they rave about his defense and his pop times and his ability to throw and all those things. I just don't know if he's a major league hitter. And if you don't know that, is he better than Cesar Salazar to where you say, okay, he could be the third catcher, but could he be the second catcher? Could he be a guy that every fifth or sixth day you plug into the lineup as a catcher and you just have to live with the fact that you don't know what he's going to be offensively?
I mean, there's a lot of catchers who can't hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very rare that catchers can hit.
Right.
Like, there's probably 15 catchers that are above average offensive players, period, in all of Major League Baseball. So it's not a position you see a whole lot of offense. That's what the allure was for Yiner. It was like, oh, if he can handle himself defensively there, he's got an above average bat. We're getting an above average bat at a position that's usually weak offensively. That's a major win. And look, I mean, he's still young. Yiner has been hitting much better over the last month of the season or so. So, you know, we'll see. Yiner traded for outfield this year's trade deadline. I really couldn't see it this trade deadline. I really couldn't. Texter Dusty was right about Yiner. Yeah, maybe. How about moving him to first base to keep Caratini at home? I was in favor of that idea in the offseason. But the moment you signed Christian Walker to a $60 million three-year deal, that idea was dead.
Yeah, that ship sailed, and you've got a guy now that's starting to heat up. So, yeah, and he's got 2 years left.
And you have two DHs ahead of Yiner already. So it's not like, hey, let's give Yiner DH at bats. Well, what are you going to do with Yordan? What are you going to do with Altuve? Trammell, yay. can we now agree that yesterday and today's lineup is the worst we've seen in a decade? No, not in a decade. Maybe. I don't know. It's pretty bad. Trammell Banks is a texture. Would you trade Jordan Alvarez for Paul Skiing straight up right now? Yeah, I would trade Jordan for Paul Skiing right now. I would.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah, I would. You go 1-2-3 of Fromber, Hunter Brown, and Paul Skiing, and Jordan's not on the field. Yeah, I would trade Jordan for Paul Skiing.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, at a certain point, you got to pay him, and that's going to be a hefty, hefty salary that I'm not sure they're going to be in on.
No, you're probably not going to pay him.
But you're right. Short term and for this year alone, because you haven't gotten anything from Jordan all year. My goodness. Yeah, and the Jordan deal for the Pirates is extremely enticing because they're cheap.
I mean, the Pirates wouldn't do that.
I'm just looking at a hypothetical deal. The Pirates would love a guy that they got for less than market value that has the capability of possibly producing.
I mean, if they traded Paul Skiing, they're trading him for a smorgasbord of prospects that are all in their early 20s and maybe even in their teenage years. Now, Skiing isn't a free agent until after the 29th season. So, I mean, you have him for this year and four more. Yeah, I would trade Jordan Alvarez for Paul Skiing without batting an eye. Sorry, Jordan. I know you turned the game upside down and you're a franchise icon, but if I could trade Jordan, who's never on the field, for one of the best pitchers
right
in all
now,
of baseball,
right now.
Yeah, I would do that without – no one – like, the Pirates would laugh at that, though.
They need just an absolute killing of on a return just to even – save face because of the fact that the fan base is going to be livid if you're going to trade Skeens when it looks like they finally got a guy that can be a franchise guy. And you just know that they're so cheap and that they're with their track record, it just doesn't seem like that there's a way that they're going to keep it. They're going to try.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, they've signed some guys in the past. Like, a texter says, do you think that the Astros could go after Brian Reynolds? They signed Brian Reynolds, but not for anything that Skeens is going to demand. I think Brian Reynolds is overrated. I'm not a fan of Brian Reynolds. I think that everybody's hyped up Brian Reynolds for numbers he put up 3 years ago. I think he's been spectacularly average in the last couple of years. Texter blows me away. Walker, after totally sucking all year, finally gets it going, takes time off. I think he'll go right back to sucking. Way to blow the only momentum you've ever had here. When I just graduated, my executive chef told me you better be dead if you ever call in sick. So we have a guy bashing Christian Walker for taking paternity
leave. For being a good
leave.
Family guy and being there for the birth of his child. Come on, man.
Not great. Minute Maid Park, good job with Kennedy Corona, or the Dyke, I guess. Kennedy Corona. They gave him a nice ovation. That was very nice.
Who the f is that guy?
Kennedy Corona is who he is, Connor. They gave him a nice ovation.
They did.
They made him emotional in the batter's box. And then he got that terrific walk, Kennedy Corona.
Give you a little bat flip on the walk.
He did. Bat flip the walk.
Yeah, he seems like he's got a little charisma, if you want to put it that way. But
Bush League?
A little bit.
Bat flip and a walk?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's a little bit.
If I'm the opposing team,
if I'm a rookie, I might
if a rookie
in my first major league game and I'm bat flipping a walk, I thought that it might be a little much.
I might throw one high.
He took the helmet off a little bit too, like he didn't know what he was. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, that was kind of weird with the helmet.
Yeah, I didn't understand it either. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
He pimped the walk.
I'm not letting a rookie pimp a walk on me.
Now, to his credit,
hit him because he can't get on base unless you walk him.
True.
To his credit. In the same kind of credit I gave Jacob Melton when he was capable of doing it, when he was able to do this. But 0-2 count, and he worked his way for a walk. Then he took another 0-2 count, worked at the 3-2 before he grounded out, to where I at least give him credit that he had a couple of competitive at-bats.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's...
He is what he is, right?
I don't think he's a big leaguer. I really don't.
Defensively, again, it's like, but on a less than scale... Defensively, he could be a major league outfielder.
Yeah, I think he's a defensive guy. But okay.
Offensively, I don't know if he's anything other than a late inning replacement if he makes a major league roster.
Yeah.
No matter where he is in his career.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough for him to carve out a big league role, especially in this organization. I got into a couple of arguments yesterday. If Jake Meyers was 100%, mm-hmm. he didn't have the calf thing. He was 100%, totally fine, 100%, great, good to go. Do they still call up Kennedy Corona with Christian Walker going to the paternity list?
No.
I don't think so either. No. I think they would have brought up Singleton. And people, he's not on the 40-man. Okay, well, you can easily transfer guys who are on the 15-day IL to the 60-day or maybe the 10-day IL. There's easily ways to create space on the 40. Well, he's out of options. Are you really concerned that whenever you DFA him, if you DFA him, that some other Major League team is going to sign him? Like, nobody else in Major League Baseball wanted him on their big league team, not once but twice already this season. And then, like, he's re-signed with Sugar Land after you released him from the club. Like, I don't think they're worried about John Singleton option time. I think that they would have brought up Singleton if Meyers was 100%.
They already took a pulse of the market by watching what happened. Like, anybody could have had a chance to have him after he was released by, what, the Mets? Or wherever organization he
Syracuse
was?
Syracuse Mets.
Yeah, and no one wanted him. So he re-signed with Sugar Land. So he's already been through the ringer and no one was biting. So I wouldn't worry about it at all, because you know what John Singleton is at this point in his career. If for a short term, maybe he gives you one game with two bombs again. Yeah. I don't know, but, you know, short term, he's at least been through the ringer of a Major League Baseball season and no Major League Baseball pitching. You would assume he gets some good at-bats. I think he's better than what you got.
And here's the other thing. Like, you wouldn't have to send him down. Like, you could keep – like, there is a way for John Singleton to be on this team when Christian Walker comes off the paternity list.
Salazar.
You know, there's so many. Yeah. Like, it's Salazar, who pitches more often than he catches. He only comes in blowout situations. So there's an avenue. He can have Salazar's roster spot. For Shea Whitcomb never plays. Like, he'll do something, and, like, he'll get a spot start, and then he won't play for a week. Like, they don't like For Shea Whitcomb. They don't think that For Shea Whitcomb's a big league player. You could send down For Shea Whitcomb and keep John Singleton mm-hmm. on this roster. So, like, oh, well, they don't want to blow his options. They don't want to DFA him in 3 days whenever Walker comes back. Cool. Well, he can take Salazar's spot, or he can take For Shea Whitcomb's spot. It ain't hard.
No, it's not. And at this point, you just need at least a guy or two at the bottom of the lineup with major league experience where you believe they're going to have good quality at-bats with a chance to possibly do something, as opposed to looking the lineup the last 2 days and going, man, 6, 7, 8, 9 is rough.
Yeah, and like it would be hard to put Singleton in the lineup, like in the starting nine, because he's not playing left
field.
Where's
he to play, right?
Yeah, so like I understand that part of it, but Shea Whitcomb's not playing. Cesar Salazar is not playing, and then Singleton actually gives you a threat off the bench with a left-handed bat. I firmly believe if Jake Myers is 100%, Singleton would have gotten the call, not Corona. There's no way of ever proving that. But Myers now, with today's lineup, is missing his second game in a row. So I think that that is a bit of evidence that part of the reason they called up Corona is because they wanted some insurance in case, at minimum, they wanted some insurance in case Myers is unable to go.
Yeah, it seems like it was insurance and a backup plan regardless because of the outfield and the fact that maybe they are going to be smart and slow roll this with Jake so that he is 100% coming out of the All-Star break. I don't even mind that at this point. I just realized the fact that no matter how deep you thought this team was or wasn't previously, DeCenzo would have been a guy that would have been playing all the time if he was available. He's not only not available, we don't know when he's going to be available. Jacob Melton is a guy that looked like he could be that guy, sprained an ankle. We don't even know when he's going to be available. So you got to do whatever you have to do right now, CYA-wise, just to make sure you've got guys that can at least play the position and then worry about if they can hit or not.
It is frustrating that DeCenzo and Chaz are both out right now. Like, they could really use them. And then they would have an opportunity to prove their worth. Like, it'd be both on – it'd be great from the team front, and it'd be great from the player front, because here's my chance. Like, Chaz McCormick, I really want an opportunity. And I'm not knocking the guy. He's hurt. But this would be the perfect runway to be getting everyday at-bats in left field. If he was healthy, he would be playing every single day.
And we said after the last 2 years, with a real Chaz McCormick, please stand up. And then this year, he just hasn't had the real opportunity to prove it one way or the other. And even from a DeCenzo standpoint, from the time they called him up and even last year, we know he can hit. We saw that he could actually start playing the outfield a little bit. But at least offensively, you know, there's a guy that you can move around that gives you a chance to compete major league at-bats as opposed to some of these guys they're putting out there night in, night out right now.
I trade Yordan for Gallant right now, says Ocho. What would Paul Gallant hit in the bigs? Would he have a better batting average than Trammell? Of course not.
The batting cage.
How many? If you gave Paul 100 at bats, batting ninth for the Astros, how many hits would he get in 100 at bats?
Zero.
None?
None.
Not even one? Not even like touching the ball and then run fast? I think he'd get at least one.
I don't.
He'd get one.
Like nothing but fastballs? I think he could.
We're talking about why would he get nothing but fastballs?
I'm just trying to game it to where Paul could get a hit, because if it's legit pitching, he's not getting a hit.
I think we're selling Major League Baseball pitchers short.
I think he would touch a ball, roll it weakly up the third baseline, and beat it out for an infield single. I think he'd get one.
No. It's no slap at Paul. I don't think Paul against Major League pitching is going to get a hit in 100 bats.
I don't think there's anything harder to do in sports than hit a ball.
I think Paul can touch the baseball and beat it out of giving 100 at bats.
Touch a baseball maybe to get a foul ball or a
foul
tip. No,
he put one in play out of 100 at bats. That's 300 opportunities to put one in play. 100 at bats times three strikes, 300 opportunities. He'd put a ball in play.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope. And again, to Brian's point, is what I was thinking. Until he proves that he could hit a breaking pitch, I would be making him dance all over the place trying to figure out how to hit a breaking pitch, because he has no chance to like warm up and figure this out and get like experience. If you're just putting him out there and telling me he gets 100 at bats against Major League pitching, you're not gonna hit.
I'm giving him one hit. Chris said he would hit 200. That's insane.
I mean, Jose Abreu couldn't even do that. And he was a former MVP.
That's a good point.
Trammell doesn't hit 200 in his career. So, like, right. Paul's going to have a better batting average than an actual big leaguer currently right now?
Nope.
No.
Mm-mm.
I think he can get one hit.
I don't.
I think I'm going one hit.
No slap at Paul, but no way.
It's a slap at Paul.
Well, no, I just don't believe. It's like taking man off the street and saying, "Go, you're going to get a hit in Major League Baseball." I don't think it's happening.
Well, I mean, Paul's an athlete, though. He was tapped 6A, six-man state in Florida
20 years ago.
Texture says -225. That's not possible. Paul is skinny, but he isn't that fast. Hello. How do you know?
Yeah, I think Paul's fast.
Paul can touch the ball once, and then it hits the catcher's mitt. Paul has openly said he quit baseball because he was scared in the batter's box. Oh,
there you go, Jeremy.
Yeah,
touching the baseball one hit guy.
I think I either did or almost used that in Who Said It, but he was apparently afraid of the baseball.
He just he's buckling his knees at 91.
Yeah, I wish I remember the story, but the short of it was he was afraid of the baseball.
Maybe one's too many.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is.
Come over to our side.
Yep.
Zero.
I didn't know he was scared of the baseball.
Yeah, that would have been useful information to give you ahead of
There's
time.
There's your deep dive.
I mean, if I stood in the batter's box against Hunter Brown today, I'd be terrified.
Oh, 100%.
I'd be terrified, too.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of guys.
Especially knowing he's hit a couple guys recently.
I mean, put Paul in there against Colton Gordon. I don't care. He's not getting a hit.
He'd have a better chance against Colton Gordon.
Well, of course he would.
Montero, could he get a hit against
Montero's
today?
Got some velo. And Montero's kind of scary.
Like, Montero does that velo.
I'd rather face Gordon than
Montero.
Montero.
What picture know where he's would going? He get?
Yeah, you have like, yeah. You're not scared. Like, you think he's going to throw you a strike. Like, sure. It's going to be in the box. It's not going to dot you.
Yeah, it's the classic wild thing where, you know, you just throw it anywhere and the guy's in the box not digging in knowing he could get dotted at any time, and he's not got no confidence.
Yeah, I would rather face Gordon.
Who would give Paul the best chance?
I would rather face a lefty. Paul's right-handed?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like, what's our pool here?
Yeah, who
best chance to get a hit?
Astros pitchers or any pitcher?
Recent Astros.
Cesar Salazar.
No, I mean,
he's a recent pitcher.
Mike Gallo.
Is he recent?
Tony Sipp. Tony Sipp pitched in the Golden Era.
He did.
He did. I was going to go Josh James.
Josh James's mental coach.
No, if
Josh
scared, James throws 100. If he's scared of the fastball, you can't give him guys with gas.
Okay, that's fair.
You got to give him guys who like have trouble hitting 90.
Need a puss baller.
Mike Gallo, Colton Gordon. Brandon Walter throws harder, you think. You're disrespecting Brandon Walter. Don't talk for the rest of this hour. You can't disrespect
the
Brandon
Walter.
The guy
you put like Jamie Moyer on him?
Yeah, but it was cute. It was cute. It was a friendly thing.
No one knew who it
was. Phrasing!
Nathan from Bellevue, is Paul gay? No, he's not gay. I don't think he's gay.
He's got a steady girlfriend right now.
Does he?
Yeah.
Paul's got a girlfriend?
Steady.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Posted pictures on Facebook.
Yes, he has.
No way!
Yeah. I think last night was birthday celebration.
Wow.
Yes.
I did not know this.
Yeah, so he's been talking about it outwardly.
So no, he's not gay. Unless she's his beard.
He does like to play the game.
He's not gay.
Yes, he does.
Pete is great.
Not
that there's anything wrong with that.
He does like to play the game.
As great as the Astros have been lately, they really need to start getting players back from the IL, says Pete. You're right. They do. There's
sure,
no about that.
I mean, thankfully, with the All-Star break, you buy a little extra time, but you hope after the break or real soon after the break, you do start getting some of those guys.
Texture Lance at home. Yeah, it's not a bad call. But Lance still has good breaking stuff that's going to be breaking away from you.
His breaking stuff's nasty, and he can still get it around 94, 95.
And it's breaking away from you, so it's tougher. Could he draw a walk? Yeah, if he just doesn't swing. Now he can face McCullers and maybe draw a walk in 100 plate appearances.
Yeah.
Not a bad call.
Yeah, he could draw a walk in 100 plate appearances against McCullers.
Yeah, I think he could, too. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Is Reed Sheppard going to live up to this bigger role that the Rockets are hoping out of him? And any other additions to this team? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances. And get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.